Massachusetts ranks, we group them, and they wouldn't be in a leading state category. They've sort of moved back to what we would call the advancing state. So we rank 17 out of 50 states in how accessible and comprehensive our spending data is online. We've been doing this report since 2010, and Massachusetts started with an F, you know, when we first put it out, and they quickly got better and went to a B+ and have been in the A and A- category for some time. However, this year, what we did was we, you know, instead of looking at the website, so to speak, in the parking lot, right? So if you were going to, if a website was a car and our report is going out to purchase a car, for the first 8 years, we were looking at the websites or the cars, so to speak, while they were sitting on the lot. And we made sure the windows worked and the bumpers were there and all the parts of the cars were there. This year, however, we got into that car and took it for a test drive. So we went out and actually had focus groups test run all 50 state transparency websites. And what we were looking for this year is to make sure that not only were they comprehensive and that they had all the data, but that it was user-friendly, that the average consumer could go onto that website and easily navigate it, figure out the information that they wanted to figure out, and do it in a timely manner. So, you know, just like you were in school when you went from the 9th grade to the 10th grade, the academics got harder, the tests got harder. Well, this year, the test for transparent websites got harder as well. So that's why we see a change in Massachusetts moving from an A to a B-.
What can Massachusetts do to retain its A grade?
Right. Well, you know, I have every confidence that they will. You know, when we initially put out our first report in 2010 and they got an F, nobody wants to be in the back of the class, right? And so they redoubled their effort. The legislature got involved at that time, passed a really good state transparency law. And the combination of the governor's office, the comptroller's office, and the legislature really sort of put Massachusetts at the forefront. I do expect Massachusetts will get back to the top of the class. What they need to do to improve their website, one is to make sure that it's comprehensive. What the website is lacking is the disclosure of all of what we would call quasi-public agencies. So we've heard a lot about them in the news. These are agencies that sort of operate off budget, but are established by the government, and they do public functions. Unfortunately, our website doesn't include all the spending information from the quasi-public agencies, so we need to get that on board. We have to have more information about when we give tax breaks to businesses to do, generally we will allow for a tax break for somebody to come in, and they will commit to creating jobs or refurbishing an old house. If we give a tax break through the tax code, we have to get better at describing and outlining, well, what are the promised benefits from that institution that gets the tax break? And then second, did that company, did they meet those promised expectations? So if they were supposed to create 100 jobs, great, let's put that in there. And then come back to it a year later. Well, did they actually create 100 or did they create 50 or 150? So we have to get, we have more agencies up on the website and then better information when we give companies tax breaks.
How much traffic does the Massachusetts site get? Do you know?
The set website does get a lot of traffic, and what we're seeing not only here in Massachusetts but across the country, more and more people are using the website. And, you know, when we spend, you know, the Massachusetts budget's, you know, around $40 billion. And then you probably have another $15 billion in what we call quasi-public agencies. That's a lot of money. And that the more people that can get on and look at that website, it promotes efficiency. It allows the average citizen to participate in those discussions about how we invest our valuable resources. And it also is a good check on corruption. So there are really good benefits to ensuring that everybody has access, meaningful access, to this very vital piece of information that allows us to participate really in how are we going to invest those resources.
So it's not just an academic exercise. There are actual people out there, actual citizens out there who are not just interest groups or journalists or people that might be looking to use this data. There are actual citizens out there that are monitoring how their state is spending money.
Oh, they're absolutely. And the more that we encourage citizens to do that, yes, we can. We may uncover deficiencies, but what we also see is we see greater competition. We see somebody coming back and saying, well, we see that you're spending a lot of money on this. We could offer that for a much lower price. So that's for people who want to be competitive when they see sort of what we're spending money on. Or let's say, for example, we're looking at, you know, where this, how much the state is spending money in electricity, in where, and what time, and how much, and you know, are there alternative ways that we could look at that spending and figure out how we can do it better? And so there's a whole host of reasons why the average citizen and consumer wants to take a look at that website. And then you have sort of these nonprofit groups that are trying to figure out, well, how do we make a more efficient, better responding government? And they do pour through those records.